Hello, my name's David Stretton, and I'm the Methodist minister for churches in Arnside, Storth, Milnthorpe and Levens in the Kendal Circuit. Welcome to worship for Sunday the 18th of October 2020. For our hymns today, we're going to begin with All Heaven Declares, and we'll finish with Be Thou My Vision. And our prayers today are on the theme of being witnesses for God.
All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can with the beauty of the Lord? Forever He will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship Him alone. Glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. Forever You will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly
let's turn to God in prayer. We praise You, Lord, for witnesses throughout the ages who have told Your story and made You real to the next generation. We thank You for people whose names are well known and prominent, and we thank You for those whose names are long lost in history, but who are known to You. We praise You for all whose good Christian lives have impacted on who we are and what we are and where we are. We praise You that in every generation there are witnesses who stand out, who stand up to be counted, who make a difference to the Christian path. We praise You, Lord God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, that we have been brought by word, by deed, and by action to follow You. Amen.
Today's Bible reading contains a very famous phrase, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." You'll almost certainly have heard this before, but can you remember where in the Bible it comes from? Let me read you the passage and then I'll say a couple of things about it. I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that You are a man of integrity and that You teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because You pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is Your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. When I was at junior school as a boy, you only had two choices, Manchester United or Manchester City. The two were irreconcilable. They never met. They were never at peace. The Pharisees and the Herodians were just the same. The Pharisees were religious. Their focus was on God. They were Jewish. Their life revolved around the temple. The Herodians were political. They supported Herod. Their priorities were aligned with the Roman Empire and the Emperor Caesar. And yet these opposing groups are prepared to come together in an unholy alliance against Jesus. The time is Holy Week. The place is the temple precinct. It's hot, it's tense, the atmosphere is full of intrigue and conflict. There are spies everywhere. And the Pharisees and the Herodians have united to get rid of Jesus. They want him gone. They send students armed with hard questions to try to trick him, to catch him out. Tax was a sensitive issue, and everyone had an opinion. The Roman Empire needed taxes to fund its building program and to fund the armies that were needed so it could expand into foreign lands. The Jews had a problem with this because their own land was indeed occupied by those same Romans, and here they were having to pay tax to a foreign power with no choice and no say over how it was spent. And not only that, but it was used to fund the worship of idols. And on top of that, this tax to the Romans was in addition to the local tax and also the temple tax. So in fact, tax was running at a rate of about 50%. So half of all your income, which was never very much in the first place, was taken away. So into this very volatile context, the question is asked. The trap is set. Should we pay tax to Caesar or not? And of course, the question puts Jesus between a rock and a hard place. Pay tax, and you're supporting Rome and the occupiers, and the zealots will assassinate you. Don't pay tax, and that's sedition. The Roman spies will grass you to the authorities. I wonder, you know, how would the Pharisees have answered this question? When I was in the Holy Land in 2008, I went to a lecture where the teacher set out to explain some of the cultural differences between the Mediterranean and Western Europe. And one of the things that I'll always remember is the custom of answering a question with a question. So you never get to the end, to a final outcome. Instead, you continue in a dialogue. So back to this encounter, and Jesus asks to see a coin. Notice that he doesn't carry one, but they do. They produce a denarius, which was a day's wage for a labourer. And here we go. Jesus' answer to their question is a question. Whose portrait is on the coin? And they have to answer truthfully, Caesar's. And then he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And these students who'd set out to trick Jesus are so amazed that they go away. Jesus has outfoxed them. He's won the day. And we have a great story and a memorable phrase. But what does this encounter mean for us today? Some classical philosophers had very clear ideas about the separation of body and spirit, and therefore of God and the world. Over time, this found its way into our theology and our belief systems. So there's often thought to be a distance between God and the world, and a sense that God is good and the world is not so good. And this, in turn, has led to many of us keeping things in very separate boxes when it comes to God. The English person in polite company never talks about politics, religion or money, and especially about how much they get paid. This separation has resulted in a society where almost all of us feel awkward if asked to speak of God or about our beliefs. So to help us think about this a bit more, imagine for a moment a coin that you hold in your hand that has the image of the Emperor Caesar on one side, representing the world, and the word God on the other side. Think also about the edge of the coin, neither one side nor the other. This all highlights the tension between the togetherness and the separateness of God and the world. Two sides of the same coin. Now, in your mind, take this coin which is in your hand and choose God. So place the coin down on the table with the God side facing upwards. If God is face up, then we deny the world. So we focus on prayers and the Bible and church. Nothing wrong with worshipping God. But if we went to extremes, then we might end up like the Essenes or Hermits or the Amish. We lock ourselves in our ark, seeking protection from the stormy seas of the world. But if we become disconnected from the world, then God, our faith, becomes irrelevant to our lives and irrelevant to the people around us. Okay, so take that imaginary coin and turn it over. This way, we choose Caesar. We choose the world. But God is face down. We live in the world. God put us here. God made the world. It can be a hard place to be. Firstly, just surviving. But then, accumulating and holding on to wealth and possessions and status. We can be so busy living that we have no time for God. Even when we try to be nice to others, to lead good lives, we can lose our direction and our motivation. We can lose sight of the bigger picture. We can be overwhelmed by meaninglessness or hopelessness. So what about choosing not one side nor the other, but choosing the edge? Imagine your coin balanced on its edge. This really is a balancing act. In the world, participating fully, but also being on the margins, pushing for God. As usual, Jesus offers an uncompromising and difficult option. It's hard being a Christian. So let me finish in Mediterranean style with a question or two. How do we serve Caesar in a way that honours God? Or to put it the other way round, how do we live as Christians in the world? The coin that Jesus asks for is all about price and cost and value. And Jesus seems to push this aside as irrelevant, and I think point to himself as a new currency. Is that what we need to be? a new currency, a new set of values in the world? And if so, how can we do that?
Our prayers of intercession. Lord God, in our corner of the world, it isn't easy to really feel the pain of persecution for our faith, but we know that it happens. And so we pray for those who are persecuted and punished, violated and scarred because of their faith. We pray for those who, despite these things, speak out and speak up and witness to you, the living God. We pray for the families of these people, that they may be given strength and support in their own faith and discipleship. We pray for those who teach us of you, who unpack your truths, who explain what living a Christian life is and how to follow you. We pray for those who guide us in times of struggles with our faith, those who stand by us in times of denial and bewilderment. We pray for those who are dying in the faith, and those who are struggling to find their faith before they die. For these and all your witnesses, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nought be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best.
And finally, a prayer of sending out. Into a world of confusion and disbelief, into a world of welcome and rejection, we take the grace of God that is among us, and the peace of God that is on our hearts. Amen.